I don't know, man.
Color, look at how nice it looks.
I like the blue.
You like that?
It's a nice change.
Yeah, I accidentally left it up from something else we were doing, so I didn't want to change it, so I just left it. Let me turn this thing on airplane mode. Welcome to episode 6.
Is it 6?
7.
Yeah, I'm
like
so
that.
Lost.
Justin's very good at adjusting which one it actually is. So on the title on the bottom, it says it. Or actually, if they're watching it. But if they're not watching it, which is most people, they listen to it.
I'm so lost.
Yeah, chapter 6.
Okay.
Yeah. It feels like it's been a long time for us, but most people are like, it's only been 2 weeks.
It's been a long time. It's been a lot's taken place.
Right?
There's just so much.
Give us an update.
I don't even know. I don't even remember. I just run it all back. My wife and I decided that a 2-year-old at home wasn't enough, so we went and got a puppy, boxer puppy. Actually, that's not how that happened.
What's his name?
Pippin. Which is like...
It's cutest little dog.
Cute little dog, man. We're Lord of the Rings storks. Well, our last dog was Artax.
Yeah.
And that was taken from Neverending Story. The name of the horse in Neverending Story is Artax. We were like, do we go Neverending Story theme? And we were like looking at other names and we're like, no. Like, I'm not calling a dog Falcor. Like, it's just not going to happen, right? So... We knew we wanted to get a dog this summer because I'd be home.
Oh, yeah. It's a great time to train. And
exactly. Yeah, like, yeah. Be home for the long run. And then the week before spring break, someone from our church posted that their coworker had a litter.
Okay.
And they're looking to. And we were like...
A little early.
Yeah, a little early. But, like, this isn't... Like, we don't... We'll just follow up with it. If the door opens, we'll walk forward. And if it closes, then no worries. And we'll just kind of push for summer. So we went to go meet the dogs. It was a litter of 3. They only had 2. And we were under the impression
The mom ate one of them?
It was 2 girls. Yes. We were under... Well, one was already committed to another family. So they only had 2 left, right? So we were... That does happen.
Does it really?
Yes.
I know, like, in other
animals. It scarred. Like, we had a student that was in our junior high or high school group, and their dog had a litter and ate one of the puppies. It, like, scarred him. It's like a thing that they do.
Got it. Sorry, yeah. I shouldn't have joked that.
It's freaking crazy. Well, the more you know.
Well, there's other animals that do that. I know that, but I didn't know dogs. I think they're more domesticated. Yeah.
Not when you see a delicious puppy in front of you. my own flesh and blood.
I've heard of people eating the placenta of a baby.
Yeah, that's going to be a no-go for me. Yeah, it's going to be a hard pass.
Putting flesh in my mouth.
I didn't know. Purpose. It got pushed out just like a baby, like right after. Anyways, yeah, push again. What do you mean? I'm not done. So, we go to check out these 2 dogs.
Yeah.
And we were under the impression they were both girls. And I really wanted a boy. Like, we both really wanted a boy. And it's like, well, we'll settle. He opens the thing, and it's a girl and a boy.
Oh.
They told us 2 girls because they thought the boy was going to get adopted. But when the family met the 3 dogs, they ended up falling in love with the girl. So it was a boy and a girl. And the boy is laying down in the kennel or the crate and looks up. And his nose is kind of longer, like Artax's was. Like, his eyes, like, we caught eyes, and I was like,
you didn't have to
this dog is coming home with us. I knew at that moment this dog was coming home with us. So we got him, you know, either like, oh, you want to meet him and play and get to know their personalities. So we did, but I knew all along. I was like, this one's coming home
Just
with
sign
us.
On the dotted line. Where do we sign? Where do I adopt him?
Here's your money.
That's
cute. So he's been home with us. He is a mediocre puppy.
What is mediocre puppy?
Like, just like, he's just like, he. Sometimes he's good, sometimes he sucks. Like, okay. He's just kind of middle of the road, which I think is a good indication he's going to be a great dog.
Okay.
Because for the majority of puppies just suck. Like, Artax, like, our when he was a puppy, was terrible.
Got
like,
it. Okay.
Just destroyed everything, got into
got
everything.
It.
He's like 50-50.
Okay.
And I feel like that's a good base. Like, we're starting with that baseline and we're going to work up to good dog.
Who's the
there.
Alpha in the family? Aaron or you?
No,
you.
It's me. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I flip him over and I put my hand on his neck and I growl. Yeah. I'm alpha. He's great. He's just a puppy. So it's like, I took him out this morning.
Yeah.
I was like, go poop.
Yeah.
Cause I could tell he needed to poop.
Yeah.
And he like walked around, then just came and stood by the door, like, please let me in.
Yeah.
Dude, you suck, but I need to get ready for work. So, okay, I guess you're not going to.
Pooped in the.
As soon as he came inside and we got back upstairs, he pooped. And I was like, you suck. So, so just classic puppy stuff going on right now.
Poop with the kid, poop with the dog.
Yeah, just poop all the time. And then we started a band, like some friends and I started a band. I don't
Silent
know if I've.
Tom?
Silent Tom.
Okay.
And it's just a little bar band. We like to play like breweries and stuff. We've played two shows. We do like the same brewery twice. And I guess I'll shout out Telco. Mm-hmm. And they're like 3 hour long sets. So we're learning like 35 songs.
3 hour long
sets. It's from like 6 to 9.
You're like so the piano player, like dueling piano guy or the whoever.
Dude,
like
we throw our tablets up. We have our songs that we've rehearsed and practiced and practiced and practiced. And we throw down a 3 hour long set pretty much. I mean, there's like, you know, half hour or whatever we're not playing. But we just got invited to go play with another band this weekend. So, which by the time you hear this will probably be past. Okay. But it's like we're opening at the Canyon, which is like a proper venue.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. I'll be there.
And we're doing like.
I'm going to wear my Silent Tom shirt.
Six songs or whatever.
And I'm going to stand in the front and go, oh,
yeah. So we're doing like 8 songs. Had to put together like a full band.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but it's like consuming a lot of my time and energy, but it's also just scratching this like itch I didn't know was there. So just like a lot going on.
Creative performing, just having fun and love it, dude.
Exactly. And like no strings attached. Like I don't care.
Playing guitar, right?
Playing guitar and singing.
Are you playing that acoustic electric that you have? The
no,
Taylor?
I'm playing my actual, like I have a Fender that I'm
electric.
Playing, like a Squire, yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I have a Tele.
Oh, nice.
Like so I've been using that. And then my friend Tom let me borrow like his big Helix pedal, which is Dustin Kendrew from Thrice used. It's this big, expensive pedal.
Cool.
But yeah, just kind of learning because I do a lot of acoustic. When we play like the breweries, I'll play just straight acoustic.
Got it. So this show's a little different in that you get to play an electric kind of
thing. Yeah, and we have a drummer and a bassist. The last time we had a person playing cajon, the third person in our band, and then... the time before that was just two of us. So cool. I don't know. There's the update. Just a lot of fun going on. But man, every little bit of fun we add in just puts a strain on the time for everything else. Yeah. So I have to try and be balanced. But.
Throw balance out the window. That's what I say.
Who needs
you
it?
Burn out.
Or upset everyone that loves you.
Well, and I love the update, dude. And for me, like, it's just been, honestly, work, family life, and really grinding on. We did a little vacation, which was no bueno. It was fine. It was a spring break thing. And whatever. It was I hate Vegas.
I was going to say, that was your Vegas trip, right?
Yeah. But we got the hotel for free. So you listen to like a timeshare presentation?
Yeah, you told me about that. How'd that go?
It went great. It was
all
fine.
I think about is the South Park episode.
I don't know that one.
They go to Aspen.
Okay.
And the kids go skiing. And like all the parents think they're going to get to go skiing after this hour presentation. And they just trap them in the room the entire time. And so the kids are on their own. And it ends up being like, if you've ever seen like Better Off Dead or pretty much any 80s movie where there's like a jerk like pro guy and it just ends up being totally silly, but that's if you've heard the phrase like if you french fry when you want a pizza you're gonna have a bad time. Yeah, it comes from that episode. It's fantastic.
Okay.
We're gonna watch it. We're gonna watch it after this.
Honestly, our experience at the hotel was so bad that when we started the presentation they just asked how it was and we're like honestly like we're excited because it was like a one bedroom, had a full kitchen. So the kids were in a separate room, which was nice. Mm-hmm. And then beautiful, it's like they made it like a Tahiti village. So it's like a beautiful, like sandy beach entry pool with a giant pool and waterfalls and lazy river. So like, but the weather, we pulled up, it was 50 mile an hour winds. Couldn't see anything. Full on sandstorm. The next day was 62 degrees outside. So the pool was useless. Next day was like 70. But outside of those, just whatever.
Like things you can't control, right?
Yeah. Dude, the room, I guess is COVID. They kept blaming COVID, not enough people. But I couldn't even, it took me 4 hours to get a bed, an extra bed. Okay, and I went to go get one. It was a nightmare. And that was the only thing I got from hospitality. I asked for extra blankets. It wasn't until the last day we got blankets. Literally, I had made three. I went down to the front desk 5 times. Like it was, it just did not work. Like we ran out of hot water. We couldn't get hot water for 2 days in a hotel room.
What?
our dry, you know, I had a washer and dryer, which was nice. So I washed all the clothes, put it in the dryer, and it's not working. So then I have to go to the laundromat. You know, it's just one of those like, this is lame.
You're so, like, not selling this place.
Nah. Yeah. And so we just did not much, which was good. It's good to just take a break. And I'm being like first world problem little turd right here, but you know.
I mean, you expect so much out of a vacation, or at least like a hotel.
You know, last time we did one of those, it was a high end Westin resort, which was super nice, high end. I thought this would be comparable. Just wasn't. So Westin was last year's experience was 10 times what it was this year. So anyway, it doesn't matter, but it just, and then work, dude, we've had a lot going on, a lot of transition, a lot of building, a lot. And it's been a lot of fun. And I've really doubled down in a lot of areas, which is funny because we're going in our season stuff. And I think we left the last episode kind of working through where you were at. And then determining where I was at, which was a season of growth. And I wanted to kind of go, okay, well, this is what I'm learning and have been learning in the season of growth. Because I am not yet through it yet, I don't think. I'm not done with it yet. Which I believe then leads to this season of fruitfulness. And I don't know what that will look like, but I do think one of the things we talked about with fruitfulness, because again, this is all just experimental and the itch that we're scratching for this episode, season, was two things. I believe a gospel fruitfulness or a biblical fruitfulness. I don't use the word gospel because I don't know if that would be the case here. But in general with people, fruitfulness would be that the fruit isn't for the tree itself, for that person.
Right.
So it's for the community around it. So how do you grow into a person that's healthy, that's not about you, but about the other? And then secondly is reproduction. Like good fruit is to be reproductive, right? So it lands and it's going to grow. So how would you then, therefore, then as a healthy person, you're reproducing people around you that are healthy as well. And I'm looking at like, for me, my influence in growing, is it affecting first my wife? Because I have the most impact and relationship with her, my children, and then from there, my circles of influence, people that are around me, people that I work with in my workplace, people in my community that I meet with, people I hang out with, friends, family, those types of things. And do I see a lot of the work that God is doing in my life or through my life? Not, it's not going to be the same in other people, but I think that other people will grow through or go through and acknowledge and see things in their lives that then they can grow in, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't know how else to explain it, but like I see people around me. So like this last year has been a season of growth for me, at least the last few months. One of those areas is mentally, emotionally, and then physically too. And I remember being here at my work and just eating a bunch of junk food and always, you know, whatever. You know, I was pretty overweight. And
we
just
ate a lot of Panda Express.
Yeah, pizza, just whatever.
Pizza, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we always had soda stocked and all things like that. And over the last year, year and a half or so, I've completely changed the way I eat, which a
lot of our LaCroix aren't even flavored now.
No
it's
way.
It's just sparkling water.
So many Bobbies for me. So I'm just kidding. I just eat it because it's free.
It's like,
there's a culture even around here where like there's people that I work with who they've lost weight. They don't drink any more soda. There's real like all of a sudden people are like buying running shoes. They're starting to run more or like I have a group of people I work out with now pretty regularly. We've got a little gym here at the church. There's a lot more people involved. And so there's movement happening where it's like as I'm growing, people around me are becoming more spiritually aware, emotionally growing. I see a lot of people who are growing in self-awareness, like people who are my dad, like dad, you probably are listening to this. Love you. And just to watch him grow in self-awareness, like and see like all of a sudden he's sensing or feeling something. And I've never heard him like, I'm feeling this. Wait, what? Like, awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for that. And so seeing that kind of grow. So maybe, you know, so that's my hope. And my prayer is that that is identifiable when you see those kinds of things, even like with my wife or my kids. And so some of the lessons I'm learning in my current season of growth, the first part of this is education, education, education. I think first, in order to grow, you have to take everything you've learned in the past couple of seasons as your base for the foundation of growth, if that makes any sense. So, like, you're going to learn a lot of things about yourself, and you can either reject it, justify it, which we've talked through that period of repentance and lamenting. And that lamenting, I think, turns into an accepting of the is. And then from there, I believe, through like a changing of the way we think, that's kind of that's biblical.
We can then
work to grow, and we mature. The Bible talks about maturing in our faith, right? It says to grow up into maturity of man. It says that we want to, what does it talk about with growing in our fear and trembling? come on,
to work out your faith,
work out our salvation with fear and trembling, right? So there's this process that that there is a work when Jesus says, "Come follow me, for my burden is easy, my yoke is light." Mm-hmm. That it's not that everything gets taken away from us, but there's a work out of a new identity that we have in surrender to Christ. That in Him we're made new. Mm-hmm. That we can then build on that foundation and watch the kingdom of heaven grow in and through us. If that makes any sense, and it practically will. We'll have areas in our lives that we become more healthy because we're building that. We just do. Because
well, it's like growth mindset.
Yeah.
Right? Like the idea is like that we build on top of a foundation that's been laid.
And there you go.
You think about like a layer cake or whatever, and it's like in each cycle, like you can cycle through these kind of, you know, dormancy and pruning and growth and those things. But like if you don't cycle above where your cycle was and you just tear it all down and recycle back through it, then like, I mean, I think we kind of experience growth out of necessity, but we don't make it like intentional growth. Like this is like intentionality in the seasons that we experience so that by the time we're through a cycle, we can draw on, we have the awareness of what we've experienced to then build upon that for the next cycle.
That's really good. It's funny because the next thing I wrote is we don't want to be held captive by our past. Because very often we go, I was this, and we get caught up, shame and guilt, and a lot of times it chains us down.
Or the other way around. Like we have a good cycle. Maybe we experience like a good season of growth.
Yeah.
And in the next cycle and season,
it's really tough.
Doesn't live up to what the last one was. Yep. And we talk back about it.
Or I think
we
get of Uncle caught up is it Uncle it. Rico who
yes,
played football.
Yep.
Very often that does happen where we go, dude, I once did this. It's like, who cares what we once did?
Right.
It's the same, both the positive or negative. That wasn't a part of my notes, but that is really important because very often you hear that, like, that's what I did or that's who I was. But both good and bad, unless we use it as a base to build and grow into the maturity that Christ wants us to grow in this next season, could and hold us captive.
I think that's very good. Especially if we're in a hard season, it's easy to look back and ignore what was difficult about the season before and only look at what the successes or the fruit was and only remember that.
Yeah.
And so the danger of like living captive to the past, not only like to the negative side of things, but like living captive to a positive remembering of things that keeps us from growing forward.
Yeah.
In our other things.
And it's interesting you say it like that because this is reminiscing of when we talked about, you know, the season of even like pruning or dormancy. There's, you always want to look back because our operation moving out of this is not being a victim, right?
Yes,
victim of our good or even our bad or things that was done to us, but just acknowledging that it just is and be able to use that as a base to move forward. But it's interesting because a lot of the work that I think has to happen in the season of growth, are hard things, really hard things. And that's for me what I'm experiencing in my own life. I've had to confront a lot of those past issues, the things that I've accepted. Now I've got to go to war with them and realized, you know, oh, okay, just because that happened to me in my past doesn't mean it's going to control me. And I'm surrendered and I've accepted it, which means now choices I make for the future aren't in codependency of that past, but in response to the past. Because I think there's two different things where so often we make decisions. So for example, I talk to people who they grew up in a very controlling home, religious kind of controlling home. So their response is, oh, I'm anti-religion, you know, because I don't want to be anything like my parents.
Yeah.
Have you heard that before? Mm-hmm. And so that though is codependency. Because your response to that experience is still controlling you just in an opposite direction.
In the opposite direction.
Because you think it's healthy. And so I think that it's that process of that if we are willing and we go through that pruning and then that dormancy season of our life that can move us to a healthy growth season that we're not dependent or controlled by that past is a healthy mind. Does that make sense when I say that? There's a lot of freedom.
Yeah, there's a healthy shaping that the past does to us that we have to hold on to, but there's also like a detachment we have to be like mindful, like a mindful detachment, so that it doesn't also drive us too far the other direction.
Yeah. And it's a dichotomy because in my growth season, it's very interesting because I keep having to go back to those other times where I go, oh, that's how it affected. But I have a stability in my life now that I can now deal with those issues, emotional, especially emotional, some spiritual and even physical, where I go, oh, I once could not do that. But now because of this base and my understanding, I know that I can build a plan and begin to work it and grow out of it. None of the stuff like change happens overnight. Like it's, it's a complete trajectory. And so the picture that I have in the season of growth is it's like when you cut back, like a plant and you have that dormancy season, but once it starts to grow like a vine, if you don't have a trellis to support the vine, it's just going to go everywhere.
Yeah.
I think very often our lives are haphazard and just kind of go everywhere and it gets trampled on. It's just not as – it doesn't fulfill its purpose as great as it could. And so I've learned through this growth season of my life because I've just done that in the past. Like, okay, a little of the area here. But working to build a trellis around the areas of spiritual growth, mental growth, emotional growth, and physical growth. And being specific of what that trellis will look like, and then adjusting it along the way of areas that I'm not finding if it's not growing, if that makes any sense. So for me, I've been very intentional in this last year and a half or so of being, okay, so if I want to grow in emotional awareness and grow emotionally, I need to get a coach. So I went and got, you know, I'm still in therapy. I thought I could end it like a month and a half ago or maybe 2 months ago and realized like I still, it's funny. I said it in the podcast here where I was like, I moved from a place of, you know, where now I could deal with trauma. Finally, I'm stable in a place.
But dang it.
Again, you're building on those things to now go and deal with. So you're not held captive by the past, but you're not cutting it off either.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting dichotomy. And so, few key things I've learned in building a trellis in a sense. And another way I've heard it termed, and it was Pete Scazzaro talks about this. He talks about, he calls it a way of life or he calls it a rule of life. And I've had other people, I think John Mark Comer says it like a way of life. Like, but they always, 90% of the time in the Christian world is spiritual, right? So you want to create just daily disciplines for reading your Bible and prayer and these types of things. Well, I think we are a whole person, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and to be able to create those things in our lives. For me, in order to see what I was hoping, like I don't even know what the outcome will be, to be honest. But I just know that I need to create these trellises and see what happens with the growth.
Yeah.
To allow the growth to go as much as it can to be able to be fruitful. Does that make sense when I say that? So I don't necessarily know what the end will look like. And so what I've done in my life, like emotionally, like I said, I work really hard on the emotional side with regards to, okay, this is what he's communicated as a coach emotionally where I'm at. Here's practices I can put in place, a practice of awareness, a practice of acceptance, a practice of when I start to be defensive, like putting into behavior mechanisms in place that I automatically, if I'm defensive, whatever that's tied to is ego or insecurity. And I have to, even if I don't know what to do with it, I just have to stop in the moment and just process and not argue, not be defensive, not fight. That of itself is huge, but you do that, the more and more you do that, you grow stronger in that area. And then what the fruit will be, I don't know, but I'm hoping it's humility and meekness, right?
Yeah.
You know, but I can't force those things. It's such a weird, it's like the fruit of the spirit kind of some ways.
Love,
joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But you don't force those things, you create following Jesus, and out of following Jesus and growing closer to him, you grow in those areas of your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So one of the things I've learned with this is as you do this, it's an everyday kind of a thing. It's consistency. It's every day building the bricks, being willing to say no. So like for mental health, I've had to turn a lot of TV and movies off. That's a choice that I made, like Facebook, Instagram. Like I never, rarely ever. Like if I choose, I have to download the app, put it on my phone and go, I'm going to take 10 minutes and I'm going to do this, right?
Right.
It's not any way to just escape. Because I've learned with my mind, when I do that, I'm not building the muscles that I need to be able to grow mentally. And so I've turned off some of the junk food, and now I'm putting in healthy food of like, which I already listened to a lot of podcasts, but reading more. And I'm very particular with what I read, when I read, how much I read every single day, basically. Yeah. Almost, yeah, every day I'm reading. And so that grows the mental awareness, but also not letting the junk food go in. And then taking classes, like I'm taking a couple of online classes and things like that, which you've done. I mean, you do the college side of things, but you know, instead of, anyway, so the mental side of things beyond purpose, and then so emotional, mental, spiritual, being very spiritually proactive with regards to, just because I enjoy it, just reading my Bible, processing, prayer. I've fasted for the first time, like in a long time. I guess now that I said it, God doesn't,
count.
but that was actually.
Did you post about it?
No, I didn't.
Then
so
it
it's
doesn't
okay.
count.
Well, I just posted
no, then
it,
it doesn't count. It there doesn't you go. Count. Okay, now it counts. Yeah, it only counts if you tell
that's
people.
That's right. That's right.
It's like CrossFit and being a vegan.
I'm getting there. For okay. Not veganism.
It only counts if you tell people.
but like that spiritual growth where I was like, oh, that's a big deal, where I felt like I fasted for not because I wanted to try to lose weight. Like, you know what I mean? Like it was truly like I felt God called me to a fast. I did a fast and I was like walked away like, okay, Lord, I felt like I really, truly honored you in that. Like and it was just motivated simply because I felt like I just want to honor God in that. And that was just, and that's in a lot of these areas that I'm working towards. And then for physical, the same thing physical where, you know, I wanted to grow in my ability to have a stronger heart, movement, like I want to lose weight, you know, I want to grow stronger. And so creating a plan, getting coaching, getting understanding of what it means to like, oh, what's the difference between cardio and blah, 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 and strength training and putting a system in place and working it every day, no matter what, like, yeah. I don't want to. And so that's where I learned that it's discipline over motivation in this season. Mm-hmm. Like just because no one's going to see it, may never, ever see you do it. It doesn't matter. Like, am I doing this to understand, like when I choose to do this, getting up before anybody else is up, it's dark outside, like this is the right thing because it will be better for my mental, emotional, physical, spiritual health. And I believe it's honoring God because I'm taking care of what he's given me, my mind, my body, my heart, whatnot. And if I'm healthy, I'm in a better place to be able to serve other people. And that's one thing I've learned, like, man, if I'm emotionally sharp, mentally sharp, physically sharp, I'm way better in a place to be able to lay down that life to see other people grow in their health and things like that. And then the one thing I've also learned, because I'm always the kind of guy, it's like, I want it to be perfect.
Yeah.
And so I've really learned that like consistently good over occasionally great.
Yeah.
And just show up and do it.
Yep.
And that's good. Over time you become great.
Cause you build that fluency, you know, the things that you have to stop and think about to regulate, let's say, like to regulate how you respond to when someone says something, you have to stop and go, wait, like the more you do that consistently, maybe you don't do it perfectly, but the more you do it consistently builds like that muscle memory, that fluency, where eventually that is your knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, that's exactly
like,
right.
Is to filter it the way that initially you needed to stop and take a moment and filter it.
Yep.
Now it's just an instant process because you've created those connections. And
that's with every area. I mean, there's just something with my therapist that I literally was like, I don't know if I can do that. Like, I literally don't have the awareness or the capacity anywhere in my body to do what you just asked me to do.
Wow.
And it was, and it's dealing with empathy and stepping into where like certain people may be at. And like, I don't know, like I've never, like, I don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. Not in general in all empathy situations, but like it was a very specific situation.
Yeah, Tim's a sociopath, yeah.
It's funny because I said to him that I was like, oh, that makes me a sociopath, doesn't it? And he's like, no, because now you're taking to the other extreme.
Yeah,
like that's
just know
that this is a tension that you're going to grow through. It was pretty funny. But just becoming aware of it in of itself was already growing through that, right? But I was like, I don't even know how to do it. I feel like I don't even know how to put on the equipment for the sports ball thing that you want me to do because I just picked a bike when I need to go do whatever this lacrosse game is. Like it's completely different worlds.
Yeah.
He goes, yep. And I'm like, okay, you know? And so for me, it was like, okay, but I have to be okay with not knowing how to do it and just get in and go do it and not be great at it or perfect at it, but just it's that consistency is what's going to win. And so, and I found that over the part, like people struggle with reading their Bible all the time. The thing is, I don't understand it. Like I hear that all the time from people. So what? Like, who cares? There's so often, like literally I'm doing a little devotion with the kiddos last night. We're studying through the book of Mark. It's pretty fun. I bought him these little, like, little, just the, have you ever seen those Bibles that are just one
just
book?
Just the book.
Yeah, it's got journaling on one side and just reading on the other side. And Olivia, I had them say, okay, we're going to read this page, guys, just on your own, listen to some worship music. And then whatever stands out to you, whatever verse, just write one down. It's okay. And Olivia wrote one down and we each just talked about it. And Calvin's like, oh, Jesus got baptized. It's chapter one, right? So, because I got baptized. Oh, that's really sweet. And Ella actually wrote a whole little, like, little lesson out. And I was like, okay. And Pam wrote her thing. I wrote my thing. I was, Olivia, what about you, sweetheart? She goes, well, I wrote this one. She goes, and I just don't know what it means. You know, and I said, okay, that's okay. I didn't explain to her. I didn't feel like I needed to. And I said, that's okay. And I said, do you know how often I read the Bible and I don't understand it? And I have no clue what I just read. I said, but one day the Holy Spirit will remind you and you'll know. And I said, just that's awesome.
Yeah.
And
we just have to do our part.
You know, and for me, that was like a beautiful moment to go, this is good. Like,
right. Because a knee jerk reaction is like, well, here's all of the answers. And You just didn't know the answer, and now you do, and there was one fixed answer.
You're stupid. Right. No way, dude. And I want to do that. Just the fact we're sitting there as a family listening to worship music and reading the Bible together, that's very the cool. biggest win in the entire world. Totally. Like right there. You know? And so for me, for her not to understand it, that's good. Like that is the right thing. And if I think I know it all, then I'm a loser. You know what I mean? And so but 2 years ago, Tim would have had to have the answer for her.
Right. And then brought her 14 other scriptures.
And there was just no reason to, you know what I mean? It's just, no, it's okay. We don't know. And in that, I think one of the keys in this growth is self-awareness, like learning to become more self-aware. I mean, part of that was the practices we learned in the other seasons and the one of honesty, being honest with yourself, with God, and with other people, that from honesty, we move into the point where we begin to see ourselves, not to be controlled by other people, but see ourselves through other people's eyes, how they see us, and not to change our identity, because we know who we are. We are, hopefully we understand it, you know, growing through this process, like our identity is rooted in, I am God's beloved.
Right.
I am the one whom he's well pleased. Not because of anything I've done, because of the work that Christ did, and I'm just surrendered to that.
Yeah, and God just loves us.
Yeah, he just, that's it. And do I trust that to be true? Do I believe that truth, that good news? And have I surrendered to that truth? Well, out of that place, can I grow and to become more like Christ? Well, it's going to take the rest of my life. I'm not in a hurry. And that's the other part of this piece is like that. It's growing in that self-awareness to know like what this process is doing, this growth season in my life. I might be in this next season for 2 to 5 more, like who knows? I have no idea. And the reality is just like when I realized I was in the season of dormancy a couple of years ago, like I embraced it and I was like, cool, I'm here. I'm good. I'm good in the desert. Like I'm comfortable. I've accepted it. And then I kind of am now growing past that. But it's good, if that makes any sense. So that self-awareness is going to be key. And there may be more things I learned through this phase, but that's just where I'm at. And I'm right smack dab in the middle of seasonal growth. Some of the enemies on that side of things, like ego starts to creep in again. Like you thought it was dead, but it keeps coming back.
Right. Because as soon as you make progress, I think there's a natural tendency to start like, especially comparing or judging, like, well, I did it, right? Well, I'm doing it. Well, I'm growing. Like, how come you can't get there too, or whatever?
You know, it's funny that I thought that would be the case in this, and I've actually thought, why am I not judging why that person right now? And I think a lot of it has to do with because I've went through this, like, the pain and the suffering, and have really truly like. I'm going through growth now, not because it's a self behavioral modification piece, but because it's a true growth out of pain.
Yeah.
So I'm still rooted in that dichotomy of the brokenness.
Yeah. You remember the brokenness.
Does that make sense? Yeah. And so that I've been exactly where you're at. I remember the ego of like, I don't know, 15 years, 12 years ago, I had a boss and I was like, I'm reading my Bible. I can't believe none of you read your Bible the way I do. Like that was the thinking that I had. And then I failed 4 months later because I couldn't keep up with it. You know what I mean? Cause it was just ego. It was just me just grunting my teeth.
But I think that's and we can call it, you know, our nature, our sin nature or whatever, like the tendency to, if we're not continually aware, like you don't grow out of that nature. Like it's very easy to slip back into a place where you're, you know, like you experience growth and then And then you kind of project that growth onto other people or like those things.
Or really where I go is I want to control the growth. I feel like I'm supposed to be further along than I am emotionally, spiritually, even physically, like especially emotionally. I'm like, why can't I be, you know? And so that's where I fight that tension. And I sometimes fight it so much, I just want to give up, you know? But I always move back to, you know what? No, it's consistently good over occasionally great. Like it's okay. Like right now I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And it's because it's funny because when you start to grow, you have this movement where you have this huge kind of I did at least, and I think most people will, where you kind of have like a – remember learning skateboarding, how once you finally stood on the skateboard and figured out how to do an ollie, you kind of could do some other tricks and you progress pretty quickly. And then all of a sudden you kind of just like not come to a stop, but like progress is like you have to work really hard to get any kind of progress.
Yes.
That's where I'm at in my growth season. So like there was this huge like emotional growth where like all of a sudden, even like just, you know, my wife and I had a disagreement a couple of weeks ago. She's like, I'm so afraid you're going to become like who you once were. And my self-awareness was, I was just defensive, right? Okay.
Right.
So I was like, I had to stop for a second, but I couldn't describe my feelings. But I realized like, oh, she's judging me on my last year of growth and afraid that now that trajectory is just going to go backwards. But it's not. It's not that it's stagnant. It's just waste. I have to work. That it goes back to like what I was saying, it doesn't get easier, but I'm going to get stronger.
Right. And it's like, it can always be like forward motion. Like, and
even if it's really slow. So I'm trying to say is like the first part of your growth, you're going to have this exponential growth all of a sudden. And then you have to put the same amount of effort or more to get like an inch compared to the mile that you ran. Does that make sense when I say it like that?
It's diminishing returns.
Yes. Yeah. And that's where I'm at right now where it's like, okay, I'm going to keep working hard. So like, for example, like I haven't lost that much weight in like a couple of months. And I had moved from working out like 3 days a week to like 6 days a week to be able to lose the same amount of weight I was losing like 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like, and I have to work really hard for that like extra little bit. And it's like, you can get monotonous at times, like, cause this is like the same thing every day. You got to get up, check off that list of stuff. Make sure you're going through that like checklist. But in the reality, like it's creating that new stability in that base so that next time I get pruned out, like I'll have the capacity to keep going,
that much further,
keep growing and see what God does with that. So I don't know. That's just kind of this last season. What are your thoughts on that for anything? I mean, you've already helped me out.
I don't know. I'm thinking about the fruitfulness, you know, like that idea of like there's fruit that comes from it. And we were having a conversation the other day, a friend it's kind of an existential question, you know, like, which is what is all this?
Yeah. Of like, just life.
Yeah. Like what's like the end goal? Like, and I know the church answer, right? Which is like to glorify God, but like, what does it even look like? What does it mean?
Yeah.
You know? And, I don't know. I think just in thinking about that question, like what would be the point? Like, so what? So what we're aware of seasons or so what we're, you know, and I think outside of like just the personal benefit of growth and experiencing growth and like progress, I think there's just, I'm hearing this theme of like, respond faithfully, like respond faithfully to whatever's kind of gnawing at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like what's just like a faithful response to whatever's gnawing at you. Mm. And if it's, you know what, like, Time to start getting a little bit more structure for me. I'd really like to, like, I'm kind of eyeballing, like, what would a new car be, you know, payment, some of those things. I know before I do any of that stuff, I need to sit down and I need to get I've done a budget, like, the last several months, but it's like I need to get serious about my budget and make sure that this is right before I make any decisions. Mm-hmm. Like, some of those things or, like, I want to read my Bible more. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's a small step of faithfulness that you can take in that? Because consistently good over occasionally great is absolutely right. Like you could sit down and like hammer out like a whole book of the Bible once every 3 months.
Yeah.
Or you could read that same whole book in a 3 month span.
Yeah.
A little bit every day and build the muscle memory, you know? So just responding faithfully to wherever we think we're at in our season. And then, the mark of like, I don't know, for me, kind of from my Christian worldview, what does growth look like? but fruit, mm-hmm. and fruitfulness. I think the result of being aware and being engaged in the experience and the season that we go through. Being present and cognizant of and intentional mm-hmm, mm-hmm. with what season we're in mm-hmm. and the other seasons we experience and where we're at is it changing me or am I being transformed in such a way where I'm helping put the world back together the way that God sees it.
That's the best. Yeah.
And like for me, I think that would be my measure of fruit is. Are the actions or the mm-hmm. the thoughts, the intentions, the mm-hmm. the person that I'm becoming, mm-hmm. a person that is more equipped to put the world back together and mm-hmm. taking those opportunities, mm-hmm. or less equipped?
Yeah.
And so I don't know. That's just kind of like the idea that I'm thinking of. Just like, you know, I'm not really running a ministry. Right now, I think I've got a couple ideas in mind of different things, but my family's my ministry right now, and my work responsibilities, you know, though I don't really get to be overt about it, mm-hmm. I get to minister to people by just caring about them and doing what I can for them. So if I can help put their world back together a little bit mm-hmm. and leave them better than mm-hmm. I found them, you know, then like... I feel like I'm coming out of myself and I'm looking at what is going on in the world around me mm-hmm. that I can better a little bit, you know?
Really so, good. Well, it's being reconcilers as we've been reconciled.
Yes.
And I thought about that a lot, that passage particularly, because Paul starts off in that section talking about being made new, basically. Like now that you've been made new in Christ, now go. And the next line is be reconciled as you are reconcilers as you've been reconciled. Like, and it's very often that I think as Christians, we don't allow the new work of God to work, not just in our lives, but to work through us.
Yeah.
To bring that redeeming work that we, out of fear or out of our own religious activity or whatever it's going to be, hold hostage God's new work. Mm. And going back to what I was thinking about, like, I would align with exactly what you're saying is like that piece of fruitfulness. My hope is that God does take our difficulties and can make and redeem them if we let them. And I do believe it's letting that because it's so crazy how it talks about you once were this, now you are this, now go be reconciles, that it's tied back to – it's that dichotomy tied back to that pain that then mm-hmm. we can be and bring about that shalom, that peace. Yeah. That it is a gospel work because we're rooted in humility and there's a meekness that works through that. And the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Because all of the fruit of Christians will be at some point that
those
in the
things.
Entire world. So if who we are is that fruit of those things, the whole world will be being put back together.
Yeah, those
the way
things
God had originally
put
designed.
Put the world back together. Yeah.
And I think that's really, really good. And very often I think as Christians, we try to use programs or own, you know, behavioral modification, religious activities or these types of things to try to do that, which is good.
We want something to be done. I don't know. Or just look the way that we expect you to look.
And that's a lot of times it's just this compliancy, but it's being okay with just going through hell sometimes.
Yeah.
And very often, I think as people, we just are so afraid of going through hell that we don't allow that new work to work through us.
Yeah, or we try to control the hell that we go through.
And that's typically,
so we create
or we escape,
it.
Or we justify it, we run from it.
Or we create those hells.
We're replicating
we're like, well, if I'm going to go through it, it's going to be on my terms.
Yeah.
So let me destroy this relationship and let me, you know,
go
and just
this,
destructive behaviors.
And
or
I actually believe God can redeem all of those things.
Yeah.
And that is my prayer, that when we're surrendered to Him and the new work of the gospel is working in and through us, that those things, even choices that we've made, God can and will. Mm-hmm. His promise is that He does redeem them. But it doesn't happen without us being surrendered to the story, to God, the new work that He wants to bring. And it's that's where the belief comes in. That's
He's
where the faith comes
us.
In.
Yeah. It's just an invitation.
And Jesus is saying,
part of it.
Follow me, right? Yeah. Follow me. And it's not that it's easy, it is hard. It is very hard. And I think that's what I'm getting at. I think every one of these seasons, the one thing we've seen, every one of them is hard. Yeah. Every single one of them. Now, I don't know what fruitfulness is going to look like. Maybe that's the easiest one out of all of them.
I don't even know if fruitfulness is a season. I would even say that
maybe that's just
that bearing fruit, like the fruit creation itself, is still part of growth.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about a fruit on a tree is still just growth.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if fruitfulness is for us to enjoy.
I don't think it. I actually
like if you think about fruit off of, fruit from a tree,
it doesn't benefit the tree.
It doesn't benefit the tree.
No.
It doesn't. It benefits everyone around them.
Yep.
And the branches, I mean, you think about the like the shade that and relief that we can bring to people around us.
The stability.
And I don't know. Like the more that I think about fruit, like we tend to mark our success by the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even think the fruit's for us.
No, and I truly like when we read through scripture, kingdom fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Like
and those things improve our, I mean, they improve us.
Yeah.
Our quality of life and relationships and those things.
But the reality is it is for, like Jesus, lay down your life for the other, right?
It's for those around us.
The kingdom of heaven, like you said, is like it to make the world, to see the redemptive work of God working in and then through us.
Yeah.
It's not what we think. It's
crazy.
It's exemplified in the person of Jesus.
It's crazy because when we started this, I thought, okay, fruit is going to be that's the pinnacle, right? That's the...
Well, and it is. I mean, we'll learn, and we get to the point where when we see other people around us being blessed.
Yep.
And we live in joy of that and the redemptive work of where that person who once was our enemy is now is growing and we want blessing for them. Like that's only miraculous work of God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's true work of the gospel happening. Like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Like, and that is a true hope that I'm hoping that we can grow into. And it's, if it's about the self, then it's wrong.
Right.
Which is
a crazy thing to say because it...
I'm not saying it's wrong. I guess
it's like the other side of the coin is the whole thing is about the self. Like, if we're not going to be committed to some degree... committed to growing in ourself.
Right.
Then like...
Well, there's the paradox.
We're not going to see it. Yeah, it's a total paradox.
Because like when God says, love the Lord God with the heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
There's that dynamic where it's not self-love. That's like this whole new coined term of like, we should go to pamper yourself, blah, blah, blah. No, but like understanding like, oh, like when Jesus laid down his life for his friends or even Jesus laid down his life for his enemies, like that's what we're called to do. And that is the love. So as we love ourselves, we're laying down our rights for the other, right?
Right.
That's how we love ourselves, laying down what we think it should be and doing the hard, that making those difficult choices with regards to, no, I'm not going to engage in the world systems that way.
Right.
Here's the kingdom systems are this. And that's hard to do that.
Yeah.
And that is loving yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about like the amount of...
Because it's so hard.
Yeah. You think about the amount of like self-care that you have undertaken in the last... But... I don't know.
But prior to that,
self-care may have been like, binging a TV show.
Correct. And it was dangerous for my family.
Yeah, totally.
Like, me growing emotionally, spiritually, physically is benefiting my family big time. And it wasn't motivated to try to control them or try to like fix my problems in my marriage.
Right.
It truly was like, okay, God, I just want to be surrendered to you, learn how to grow in you, learn how to kill the old Tim who's dead, but yet I live in this tension of like spirit fighting flesh.
Yeah.
So how do I allow the spirit of God to kill this flesh? What is that going to look like? Oh, it's by being surrendered to you, walking, like owning those things, walking, lamenting. And that when I'm confronted with areas I can't control, I got to learn to be surrendered to you. Like it's a constant running back to Jesus.
So is it fair to say like the truest form or the most, truest is the right word to use, but like I'm going to use it anyways. Like the truest form of self-care is caring for yourself in a way that blesses the world around you.
That's a good way to say that, right? I don't know.
Like where the world around you is blessed.
Using right now.
Like the truest mark of good fruit from a tree is fruit that blesses the world around
it. And it would be like a kingdom blessing, right?
Yes, so exactly.
Yeah, and it would be like when Jesus says, do good. Like, it's do good and show others that you did good. And the next line is, do good, but don't show people. You're like, you live in that tension. And I think that's like this piece where you're talking about, is like, is the fruit of you maturing a blessing to the nations? Because that's what it was supposed to be. That was the tension of the Israelites through the entire Old Testament. Right. God would bless them, and then they would make it about themselves. They'd build their own kingdom.
Yeah.
So in this process of God blessing me as I grow, am I trying to build my own kingdom, or am I seeing the blessing happen where, man, as I grow spiritually and I want my kids to grow spiritually and we're getting together and we're reading the Bible together and we're worshiping together just because... And because I love Jesus and I want them to, and if they experience it, great. If they don't, I trust the Lord to work in their hearts. Like, it's not a controlling thing. It just is. That's healthy because they'll be blessed by that.
Right.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure this stuff out.
That's I don't know.
I wanted to talk about it.
Who knows where we land, but.
Oh, man.
Okay. I don't know. Fun stuff to think through.
I like how we don't know. Both of us don't know anything. We don't know everything. No, we don't. That's not true.
That's why. That's why we get paid to make a podcast.
The big bucks from LaCroix. They are sponsors of nothing.
They sponsor us, but it's about $4 per sponsorship. Which is just what we paid for the box of
That's so funny.
All right. Well,
I think that's it.
That's for this one.
And I think that might be it for, because I don't know where else to go with this. I mean,
unless there's some kind of, well, by the time you hear this, we'll probably already be working on another season. Hopefully working on another season.
Yeah.
But if you hear this, maybe we'll do a one. If you're like, wait, no, can you please dive deeper or think through, like send us the question and I'd be happy to do like a one-off a little pause in between and think about it. But as far as I'm concerned, I think this has been a really fun experiment
and kind of scratching that itch
and looking at this. And, I'm excited to see and to be a part of what we're doing next.
Yes, love it too. All right, sounds good. Well, may God's grace and peace be with you guys, and we'll see you next time, whether it's a new season or not.
Who knows?
We'll find out.
I see what you did. All right.